Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this bonus edition of Kermode on Film. In this special edition, I talk to Noah Baumbach, writer and director of Marriage Story.
Noah, congratulations on Marriage Story. I think it's your best film.
Thank you.
I think it's a really wonderful piece of work. I was really intrigued that you mentioned in movies that you're inspired by, you mentioned Grand Illusion, and this really struck a chord with me. What did you mean when you cited Grand Illusion?
Well, I think what I was thinking about with Grand Illusion was I always loved the opening of that movie. I mean, it's the opening of the movie, but it actually sets you up for the rest of the movie as well, which is, you know, they, you know, you have Jean Gabin and, I'm trying to remember the other actor's name, but they get shot down over Germany, and then they're invited to lunch,
yeah. You
know, and he's got his arm in a sling, and they're all eating and talking, and it's so there's this sort of, you know, civilization in the midst of war,
yeah,
and humanity in the midst of war, but also following the rules of war. And I thought of that, and then we see that throughout the rest of the movie, even in the prison camps, and you know, that it's, you know, on one hand it's so there's so much at stake. It's so dramatic, and then all the ordinary human moments that still aren't going to change, even though you're at war, and I thought about that in terms of the sort of, you know, the process, the narrative of Marriage Story, that they, you know, it's sort of went into the ordering of lunch, you know, and these moments are as much a part of it as the more dramatic moments, these ordinary moments. I mean, and you know, and they're not going to change, or I mean, the context of them changes, but they're not. You know, you still have to live your life, even though, you know, you're at war.
Yeah.
Carré, avec vos discours à la gomme, il est foutu mon pantalon. Dasté, Hipkin, Modo, Péclet.
Tiens, je vais pousser une tellement je suis content. Il a tête à petit d'allure.
La Grande Illusion est un film sur la guerre où vous ne verrez ni bataille ni espion.
I mean, I love the way that the film balances the veneer of civility with what's going on underneath. There are lines like when we're told, well, this is about to turn into a street fight. And yet there is still the fact that it is a couple who, regardless of what may or may not have happened, have history and clearly, you know, love each other despite everything else that's going on. And I think one of the reasons it works so well for me is that it never settles either side. It never falls down judgmentally either side. Is that I assume that's what you intended?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there is, I mean, the movie is, the perspective was always going to be a big part of it, because it even opens with perspective.
Yeah.
It's his perspective of her and her perspective of him, and you know, and then of course that gets altered and as the divorce unfolds and as lawyers start to take information and make it their own,
yeah.
You know, to turn experience into argument, and you know, And I was very aware, too, that the audience would have a natural, I mean, because we do when we watch movies, we go with who we're presented with. Yeah. You know, Hitchcock has the thing about, you know, if a burglar breaks into a building and is, you know, trying to get as much jewelry into his thing, and then the couple comes home and hears it and is startled, we're also anxious for the burglar. We're not, you know, in real life we would be on their side, most likely. So I always felt that should be sort of baked into, certainly it was in the script, but it was also in the way we shot it once we mounted the movie, was this sort of this idea of perspective, that when we were with her in the beginning, that we really are with her. So like when Charlie arrives to be, you know, when we know she's going to serve him,
yeah,
we have the information. The information's with her. It's not with him.
Yeah.
When he announces his MacArthur grant, it's her reaction we're having, not his. We weren't with him when he got that news. And
which he refers to as the genius grant.
The genius
which
grant.
Is one of the best lines. I know that is how it's referred to, but it's just such a brilliant line.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah. And she's happy for him, but now it's, you know, it's this where the situation is even more complex from her perspective. Yeah. And then when we move a little bit more into his experience of it, when he's in Halloween, and you know, and then he comes back, he brings their son back to her place, and they're talking about which costume he's going to wear, and she's now almost more a character in his day. It's much more now. We've shifted perspective, and then when we arrive in the mediation, the first mediation with Bert and Nora in her conference room, we're now with both of them, and we stay with both of them. We never go to the lawyers' perspectives, and so always visually we're over their shoulders. So even when Bert and Nora are speaking, it's always Charlie and Nicole. And I think all of that goes into that feeling of both, because I wanted to acknowledge the natural feelings of identification that audiences have with characters in movies, but also play with that a little bit so that the audience in its sort of way would naturally find their way to the conclusion that this, which is what you started your question with, which is that they're both sides.
It's not as simple as not being in love.
Yeah, it's not as simple, exactly. And it's all true and none of it's true.
Yeah.
Part of what we're going to do together is tell your story.
Did you dye your hair again?
No, this is me. You don't like it?
Is it shorter? I prefer it longer, but...
How are you doing?
I realized I didn't ever really come alive for myself. I was just feeding his aliveness.
I'll never get to really be his parent again. He needs to know that I fought for him.
It's not as simple as not being in love anymore.
Eventually, it'll be the two of you having to figure this out. Together.
If we start from a place of reasonable and they start from a place of crazy, when we settle, we'll be somewhere between reasonable and crazy.
When the line, it's not as simple as not being loved, came up, I know it's in the trailer, but I haven't seen the trailer before I saw the film, and it reminded me of the line about it's complicated in Squid and the Whale, and I did see a kind of, you know, two sides of that, because in Squid and the Whale, you're looking at something from the perspective of the child, and in this, you're looking at it from the perspective of the other, but that's the common thread. It's complicated, and it's not as simple as not being in love.
Right, right. It's you know, we do things for many reasons, and there's not one... You know, it's somebody said, I remember a friend of mine said a long time ago, a friend who was going through a divorce, who actually I later talked to, interviewed for the movie, and they said that, I think they're quoting their father had said this to them, is that you can't leave without momentum. And, you know, and I think I feel like I felt that very much about for Nicole, that she kind of needed the momentum at the beginning of the movie. And,
yeah.
and in some ways, her monologue was that, was watching her find that momentum. Yeah. I mean,
it is an extraordinary monologue.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's quite an astonishing bit. I mean, there are terrific performances from both of them. I think, you know, both of them are kind of career best performances. But that must be to do with the fact that you've created a space around them in which they can do that work, in which they're constantly trapped in small spaces, even when everyone keeps talking about how much space there is in LA, of which there is no evidence at all, which I thought was one of the best jokes in the movies. Everyone keeps saying how much space there is, and there evidently isn't any space at all.
Right, you see it out the window, it's like a painting.
But it must have been hell to block those scenes, because it's very complicated to shoot two people in a confined space.
It is, and it was... you know, I like to work on a dolly a lot. I don't use Steadicam. Robbie Ryan, who shot the movie, yeah. and with Meyerowitz, we had a lot of dolly shots. And what we discovered early on here is because of these confined spaces, often there wasn't room to dolly really. But it was a lot of panning. So then we were thinking a lot about, like, you know, again, how a camera, you know. You know, when you stay put, when you move, that sort of you know thing, which you see very much in that monologue. It's, you know, when she exits frame and she's,
yeah.
you know, we're just looking at the room, but then we do go with her over to the couch. All of that stuff I find is, I was thinking about Ilya Kazan. Being, I think, referred to himself as a prop director, which I was. I think he believed it. I mean, that it was, you know, I'm giving the actors, you get good props, you get to, you know, the, you know, they're going to find stuff to do,
yeah.
you know, and I find that with blocking, I do find it with props as well, and also with production design. I like for the production designer to be there when we're rehearsing, because I think it's going to give them ideas and they're going to give yeah. the actors ideas. But if you find the right movement in, for a scene, I think it does, it gives the actor kind of space to be free in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't need to, I think this is true of the dialogue too. It's like, if you have the music, then you can play it many different ways.
Yeah. In terms of your own career, do you think of yourself primarily as a writer or a director, or as a writer-director?
As a writer-director. I mean, I don't really distinguish them. I only write scripts to direct them. I'm not that interested in scripts or my scripts as it's not literature. They really are blueprints. I mean, of a sort. I mean, I spend a lot of time on them, and they're very detailed. And there's a lot of information in there that is specific and generally to, you know, for when we shoot. I want them to be as thorough as possible.
Yeah.
So that when I. Because I feel like then I work as an interpretive director. I mean, it's not hard for me to make that shift. I don't feel precious about it anymore. It's easy for me to cut stuff.
Because you wrote it.
Because I wrote it, and I don't. What I even find happens is I don't remember the dialogue anymore, which is interesting. I'm often. I hear it when it's off. Like if someone gets a line wrong, I can tell the line's wrong, but I don't necessarily remember
how
the
line
is. Yeah.
Hey, I read that, forgive me if this is completely wrong. Are you doing the Barbie movie?
Well, Greta and I are going to write the Barbie script together, yeah.
And is she going to direct it?
I'm not sure. There's no plan for her to direct it. I think they might talk about the possibility.
Okay, and as if you're speaking to a total novice who has no idea, what does that mean, writing the Barbie movie? I mean, all I know about Barbie is Barbie doll, because it's a different thing in America than it is here.
Well, we haven't even started, so your guess is as good as mine at this point. you know, I mean, we had some, I mean, when Greta and I talked about it, we had some funny ideas, and Margot Robbie's going to play her, yeah, and is producing, and she's great. So it was something fun for us to do together. But I have no idea what it's going to be.
Okay. I mean, you understand that from a sort of critic's point, you just think it was, when I first saw it, I did a kind of double take because it was not what I would expect at all.
Right. Well,
I mean, I really look forward to seeing what you do with it. Are you excited about it?
I'm trying to to keep people on their toes. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for Greta, because it's been a little bit since Greta and I have written anything like directly together. I mean, we're very, she's very much, we're very involved in each other's projects.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So like, I feel like she's very much a part of Marriage Story, just as, you know, I feel very much a part of Little Women. I mean, it's, I mean, not in any, you know, sort of like concrete way or like, sure, credit way, but just in terms of like, you know, having talked about it and read some in drafts, and,
yeah,
you know, and that goes both ways. I mean, we're always kind of working on stuff. So it's exciting to be sitting down and doing something together again.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the things I loved about Marriage Story is, one of my favorite films is Annie Hall, and there were things in Marriage Story that reminded me of Annie Hall, not just the East-West thing, but there were certain moments in it that reminded me of that, because they felt like you were watching them happen on screen in a very real way. And I know that Woody Allen's always said, don't confuse biography with fiction, and I have no intention of doing that. But there is an in-the-moment intensity of scenes, and when they are having those discussions, that reminded me. I mean, the reason Annie Hall is brilliant is because it's not just funny, it's really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. When you're on the, I mean, I've never directed, obviously, I'm a journalist, but when you're on set with somebody, how do you take the stuff out of the way enough so that they have that contact to make it seem like it's actually happening?
Well, I mean, you can only do so much, and then it's really, it's the actor. It's the actor, and I suppose it's the dialogue, or the, you know, or the movement, or whatever it is. It sort of goes back to what I was saying, is I think if the structure of the scene is right, I mean, it's not that anything's right or wrong, but if it works, you're creating the opportunity for it to feel as spontaneous and, yeah, improvised as possible, even though it's not.
So think about it. It takes a lot of rehearsal to look that spontaneous.
Absolutely. It's true. It really is true. I don't think, it's a thing like, I feel like often we talk about improvisation in movies, and people often cite Cassavetes, and then you discover Cassavetes scripted all those movies. or Mike Lee, who scripts them from, you know, he takes them from rehearsals, yeah, and improv, but then they wouldn't work as well as they do if they weren't scripted. And I really do think that's, you know, for me, that's the only way I know how to do it. Is and you know, sometimes I mean, it's interesting. Like, I've thought about this, like, in terms of, like you think about it, like, in terms of, like, action sequences. Like, I remember when I saw Saving Private Ryan for the first time, and the, you know, the whole opening, which is the famous opening. And the whole takeaway from that, and the sort of way it was talked about, was how realistic it felt, and how you really felt you were in war. It was the first time we'd seen something so kinetic and, you know. But if you break that scene down, I mean, it's totally cinematic and constructed, it's all in sound disappears entirely. You think about all the, you know, it's the editing of it. It's so well constructed as a movie, purely as a movie, and yet the effect is naturalistic.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that I'm sort of doing in a different kind of way, or trying to do in a different kind of way. I mean, if you take like the fight scene with Charlie and Nicole in the movie, is if you break it down, it's all very constructed.
Yeah.
But the result of it is that it feels like it's just happening in front of you.
Let's just both agree both of our lawyers said shitty stuff about both of us.
Nora was worse.
Jay called me an alcoholic.
Pulled the rug out from under me, and you're putting me through hell.
You put me through hell during our marriage.
Oh, is that what that was? Hell?
And now you're going to put Henry through this horrible thing so you could yet again get what you want.
It's not what I want. I mean, it's what I want, but it's what was what's best for him.
Oh, well, I was wondering when you get around to Henry and what he actually wants.
Fuck off.
No, you fuck off. If you listen to your son or anyone, then he'd tell you that he'd rather live here.
Stop putting your feelings about me onto Henry.
He tells me he likes it better here.
He tells you because he knows it's what you want to hear.
He tells me you're on the phone all the time. You don't even play with him.
Because I'm going through a divorce in L.A. and trying to direct a play in New York, which closed because I wasn't there.
You're busy and you have another interview coming in. I'm going to ask you a last question. I began this by saying I think that Marriage Story is your best film, and I think it is. Do you think it is?
I mean, I can't really judge them that way. I mean, I feel very, the movie means a lot to me, and I do. What I love about the movie, what I love about Charlie and Nicole is Charlie and Nicole. I mean, it's all the actors, but I do feel like what the actors do in this movie, it's so personal what they're doing, that it allowed, particularly when I was editing the movie, but like once you have your movie finished, then you watch it like 1,000 times because you have to watch it, you know, when you go through all the other, you know, the sound, you go through your color timing it, your thing, you check the prints, the thing, you know, okay, we're going to raise this now, and everything. It, you know, you really get tired of your movie by the end. I really would find through all of that, I could get re-engaged in it in a way that I don't think I've had in previous movies, quite, not to say anything about it, it's no bearing on that. It's just that because of the nature of this movie and the nature of the scenes and what they're doing, that I often felt like I was watching Adam and Scarlett's movie, like that they were doing something that was coming from them and not me.
Yeah.
And those moments make it that's very gratifying.
Thanks very much. I wish you every success in the awards season. I think the film's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Kermit on Film, my conversation with Noah Baumbach. If you enjoyed the podcast, remember to subscribe and tell your friends. And if you want to get hold of an edition of the podcast without adverts and with some special video extras, then why not visit our Patreon page? Thanks for listening. Keep watching the skies.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget?
Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.